morning, Southridge. Thank you, Craig, for introducing me. I'm from Haiti, the little country of Haiti. They say the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. But that is not all they can say about Haiti. Haiti is a beautiful country, at least where things don't work. There's opportunity to make them work, right? I am married. I have a beautiful wife, Madeline. I have to tell you, though, she's beautiful, but I'm pretty sure that if it wasn't for the fact that we're married, she'd probably leave me already because I'd probably cause too much trouble. You know, it's easy to just leave your girlfriend. Maybe God will send another one, but when you're married, that's for life. You can't do that. Yeah, so, and then we have, as some of you that have been here the last time that I was here, we have, we had two children back then, Taylor, he's 5 now, and Madeline, who is 3 now, but I have something to show you. Oh, man, I just hope that every time I come, I don't say that I have another baby. It's only been 2 years and I already have one. So when I'm done, if some of you have some tips, you know, I'll meet you in the back. Maybe you can tell me how to stop the flow, I guess. Yeah, but they're all beautiful and we love them all. My wife and I. Well, you know how it goes. If the man says, well, I'm not going to have any more children, you know not to believe that, right? But if the woman says, well, I think this is the last, then chances are that this is going to be the last. But my wife hasn't said that yet, so that's my problem. All right. So much for the presentation. Thank you for... Thank you for having me here. I thank the leaders for giving me this opportunity to talk to you this morning. I thank the church for supporting Starfish Ministries, especially the village of Pommier. We're still working there. We have already given money to build the new school building that we needed. We're going to start as soon as I go back because we're going to need those classrooms for the children by October. We'll see what we can do. Let me talk to you this morning in the book of Numbers. We'll do Numbers chapter 13 and 14, but don't worry, we're not going to cover all the chapters. I'll just tell you what God has put in my heart to talk to you about. So I live around people who believe that God can do everything. And you're not different. You believe God can do everything, right? But the problem is, certain people believe that God can do everything, so that would have to do with faith, but they don't associate that with the hard work that it takes sometimes, or probably all the time, to unlock God's blessings. See, God's promises, they are true, but not always will God just do it. Many times God requires human efforts in accomplishing the goal. So, you know, in Numbers 13, that's when God told Moses to send some spies to the land of Canaan, because he'd promised to Abraham that he would give that land to Abraham's inheritance, Abraham's children. But then the leaders went there. Notice that God didn't send followers, he sent leaders. But after 40 days when they came back, all the 12 leaders were there, but there were two different reports. I wonder why, because they'd all seen it. So how come there are two different reports? You know, one group says, well, we went there, it's all beautiful and everything, but we're not going to be able to do that. We're not going to be able to get it. See, they saw the land, but something inside of them told them that they couldn't take it. They couldn't get it because they weren't ready for what it was going to take to actually grab it. Because you see, God promised them the land, but they would not just go to Canaan and told the people, by the way, God says that I'm supposed to have this, so I'm giving you a 2-day notice to leave, and then I'm just going to take over this land. It doesn't happen this way. God makes the promise, it's true, but they had to fight for it. And 10 out of 12 of those leaders thought, we can't do it. And then 2 of them said, we can do it. See, I don't know whose side you're on this morning, but I would hope that you're on the side of those people who think if God wants us to have it, then we can have it. Because you know what Romans 8:31 says? What does it say? If God is with us, who can be against us? And of course, the answer is nobody. You know, and Joshua, God told Joshua, I'm going to be with you and nobody will be able to stand against you as long as you live. But did that mean that Joshua would never have to fight? Does that mean that Joshua would never have any opposition? Of course not. Let me tell you how many kings Joshua and the people of Israel had to take down before they could actually take over the land of Canaan. 31 kings. 31. So the fact that God said, I'm going to be with you, nobody's going to be able to stand against you, doesn't mean that you're not going to fight. So, 2 different, 12 leaders, but 2 different groups when it comes to the report. Why? Because there's a faith issue. Just because you're afraid doesn't mean that God is not strong. Just because you're afraid doesn't mean that God is not going to do it. You know, you just sang it. Our God is mighty to save. He's mighty to win the battles. He's mighty to make it happen. And, you know, believing in God is not just a simple thing. It's actually a survival skill. Believing in God is a survival skill. Why? Because God got so mad at those people who did not believe that with him they could take over the land. Now, he made the promise. He wasn't ready to give up. He wasn't ready to become a liar. But he needed people who really believed and who could actually make it happen. And he got so mad because of those 10 leaders and their report that caused a lot of people to not believe in God and the promise that he made to deliver that land to the people of Israel. You see, when you have coward leaders, they produce coward followers. Coward leaders produce coward followers. The first people that should believe in the dream are the leaders. Because they're the ones that are supposed to cast the vision. So if they don't believe, who's going to believe? Nobody's going to believe. The first person that should pick up the shovel and start shoveling is the leader. Because as you will find, many times, after you have shoveled a few times, people take the shovel away from you. Because all they wanted to see is somebody who's so determined to make it happen, who is willing to do anything to make it happen. And because of those 10 leaders who did not believe, God wiped out all the children of Israel that were left. All those people. He wiped them out. He got so mad, he said, no, none of you will see the land whom I promised, that I promised to the children of Abraham, except for the ones who believed. And you know how many who believed? Two. Just two. Two leaders. Now, here's the problem. Why didn't Caleb and Joshua find some people who believed? That's the big question. Well, because most people, even in the church, they like to follow the crowd. And the crowd does not always have the answer. You know, one of the things that my father taught me was, don't always believe what your eyes are seeing. And as Christians, I would advise you this morning to have the faith to see more with your heart and your faith than what you're seeing with your eyes. Have eyes and faith to see more than what you're seeing with your eyes. Your eyes maybe looking at a problem and says, well, definitely you can't do that. Well, you didn't go to school. You didn't go to university. You don't have a degree. You don't have a diploma. This is not for you. But let me give you an advice. You may not have the diploma, but I'm sure you know somebody who has the diploma and who you can hire to make it happen. That's why, you know, God puts all these people in the church. You may not know how to work on a computer, but I'm sure there are people here at Southridge that can do that. You may not be an expert at construction, but I'm pretty sure that there are some people here that actually can build, who can build. You may not be good at playing music, but you just saw the band playing. God has people to make it happen. As long as you believe, then you're going to do the job of putting together a team that can actually help you make it happen. You see, coward leaders not only produce coward followers, but they also cause their followers to fall, if not die. God literally killed these people. He did. If we were to look in Numbers chapter 13, verse 30, then we would see what God says. He says, then Caleb, what Caleb said, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. This is the kind of leaders you need. Those who believe we can certainly do it. And then, because the people didn't believe, Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid. Here's what the Lord says. I will strike them down with a plague and destroy them, but I will make you into a nation greater and stronger than they. See, not believing actually is dangerous. Because God cannot stand people who don't believe that he can do all things, anywhere, with anything. You know, the Bible says if you don't want to speak, Who's going to speak it in your place? Jesus can make the rocks speak. So imagine that the rocks are speaking, and then you're silent. That'd be bad. Imagine a donkey understands what the Lord is saying, and you don't. Imagine that the lion, who so likes to eat meat, eat flesh, understands what the Lord is saying, and the prophet doesn't understand. God cannot stand people who do not have faith in Him. And we're not, here we're not talking about the faith that would save you. Okay, because if Jesus has not returned yet, it's because He's waiting for some people to come forward. But after you've believed in Jesus, then you should grow your faith. Because definitely God is going to ask you to do things that will appear to be impossible. But knowing who God is, when God is on your side, you can do anything. So you ask, what does that have to do with the work that I do? In Haiti, where I grew up in Tricot, there are many challenges to overcome. First of all, there's no flat land in Tricot. Absolutely none. The land is very mountainous. So basically, wherever we go, we keep going up from Tricot, going to Bel Air. It's all mountains. So one day, somebody told me about a ministry in Bel Air and said, well, we want you to help. I said, well, how am I supposed to help? There's no road. This is just a track. There's no road, as you can see. I can't drive a truck there. I can't drive my motorcycle there. So what do you want me to do? So I decided, counting on God's promises, to go up there and just check it out. I went there, met with the people. You see, this building is owned by one of the members of a church that was meeting under this little structure that's on the left. That's where the church was meeting. And people were hungry for the gospel, but there was nobody to help. The pastor that served that little church took advantage of the people, and basically they got so confused that they didn't want to believe in any leader whatsoever. But they found out about what Starfish Ministries was doing, and they decided to come to us for help. So I met with the people, and they told me some of the problems that they were facing. For instance, they did not have a school in the village. They started a church, but basically they didn't have a building for the church. They did not have a pastor. They did not have a road to the village, and they didn't have water, as is still the case today. So I said, what am I going to do? I talked to my partners and told them what the problem was. So we decided we're going to give it a shot. I met with them in April of 2016. And by September of the same year, we opened the school in the village. We did not just open a school, but we actually built the school. So you ask me, how do we do that? There's no road. You can't take a truck there. You can't deliver material. So how do you do that? Here's how we do it. There's no excavator. There's no big machine. All we have are picks, shovels, a willing team, and God on our side. So we decided to build the road, okay? And we didn't have very many things, but the people were willing. And we were able to build the road enough to where I could take a pickup there. So I had to haul everything from sand to water to blocks to cement to 2x4s, everything to take them up there to build the school. So you see, if the leader is passionate about what he's doing, then many times he's going to attract people that are passionate to make it happen with him. And then we had another problem. So where do we build the church? We bought this very barren land that didn't look like anything could happen there. And then we said, well, we're going to build a church. Same problem. We have to excavate. And there's no excavator. There's no excavator, so what are we going to do? Picks, shovels, a willing team, and God. So we decided to take off the top of the hill. And as we started digging, we found massive rocks underneath. So when you see that, what do you say to yourself? Well, maybe God didn't want us to do it here. Maybe we made a mistake. Maybe we should give up. Maybe we should just wait till we have the right equipment to do it. Not what we did. Because you see, if we're waiting for the right equipment, it will take a long, long time before that happens, to start with. But those of us who understand how precious a soul is, what if we're waiting for the right equipment, the right people to make it happen, and somebody who was supposed to hear about Jesus, somebody who was supposed to be impacted by the church, dies? We don't have time. All of us only have 24 hours. And all of us only have one day. You never have more than one day. Just one day. Okay? By the time you wake up tomorrow, it's going to be today. So don't wait for the right time and the right equipment and the right place to make something happen. If you really believe that God wants you to do it, then no matter what, no matter what it takes, no matter how difficult it is, no matter what the circumstances, you're going to work hard to make it happen. And today, this is what it looks like. We excavated the land and we built the church. Still, no dump truck delivering materials. All we had was the pickup. So I hauled everything. People helped me. Doug Jarvie helped me. Mr. Bernie helped me. You helped me. Because you may not be there, but if you contribute, that's a way of helping. Not all of us have to dig. Not all of us know how to dig. Not all of us know how to shovel. But if we put our heads together, if we put our hands together, if we are one people, then we can make it happen. And then people go and they take pictures. They take their families. Wow, look at what they did. How did they make that happen? Because when you go up there, you see possibilities. But only those who believe will ever see the glory of God. So then we had another challenge, Entrica. not very many people go past high school to university. And then when we need workers, we have to hire from outside, from Port-au-Prince, from Grenadines, from Cap Haitien. And then, of course, what that does, there's jealousy. Because people in the village are saying, well, they're hiring everybody from outside. We can't make any money. We can't do the jobs. And the problem is, it's a lack of education for the most part. So we decided, instead of a guy like me, who used to go from Tricot to Grimone, which is about 7 kilometers, I think, 5 days a week, on my feet, to and fro. So today I decided we got to change that. We got to build something right in the village where the kids can go to school. So we decided we're going to build a high school. The need was so great last year that we decided to start the high school in a little building that we built around the LDC. For those of you who know what I'm talking about, the LDC is stands for Learning and Development Center, which we built. That's where basically all the meetings are happening, and that's where we started a church in Tricot. So we started in that little building that was meant to be a dorm for the LDC. So the office, the administration, is actually in the kitchen. We didn't have furnitures there yet. So we put the administration there, and then the two classrooms upstairs. Okay? So we started anyway, not knowing where we were actually going to build the high school. So everybody's asking, well, that's crazy. You start a high school, but where are you going to build it? There's no land. I'm telling you this morning, you have to put yourself around people who will see possibilities. Some people, all they can see is, we can't do it. There are all kinds of problems. Where there's no possibility, we think, we pray, we search, we plan. See, you don't have to wait for the land before you start planning. And then as we plan, the Lord sees our faith, and that's when His power comes to play. So I would go around this property. As you see, cactus everywhere, and it looks like nothing. And I would go at night, and I would pray. And I would take some people with me. And I'd say, it looks like we could build the high school here. And they started believing. We bought the piece of property, and then we had another problem. What's the problem? It's a hill. We have to excavate again. But by this time you're thinking, well, Doug Jarvie had already bought an excavator, right? And took it there. No excavator. Picks, shovels, a willing team, and God. Here is what it started looking like. You see all the rocks that we had to dig out with picks. Very difficult, right? But just because something is difficult doesn't mean that we can't do it. Right now, as we speak, we're not excavating anymore. Excavation is complete, and the construction is underway. By October, it is our hope anyway that we'll finish with the first floor, and that the high school students can actually be in this building and start learning. So you see, it's not about how easy it is. It's about having God on your side and being passionate about what you do, believing that with God on your side, nothing and absolutely nothing is impossible. Are you ready to believe this morning? Are you going to believe in the possibilities? Now, when you face problems, this is what you should do. Always ask yourself, where is God in the picture? So don't just say, we can't. You'd have to say, we plus God can't. If you haven't said that yet, don't lose hope. Because where you can't is where actually God can. Where you can't is where God can. You know this song, Trust and Obey? For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. My hope this morning is that you would trust God and obey. Just like we're moving mountains in Haiti to help the people, to make things happen. I'm pretty sure that there are mountains in this very church that will probably need to be moved. And God will need you. There may be mountains in Langley that need to be moved. And God is going to need the local church. There may be mountains in the world that would need to be moved. And God is going to need people. Remember back in Genesis? God could have done it all on his own. But what did he say? Let us create. He raised Lazarus from the dead. What did he do? He could have just called Lazarus out of the tomb and it was over. But he said, roll the stone. And then after he'd raised him from the dead, what did he say? He said, release him. Jesus didn't do that because he couldn't do it on his own. But he's always going to need you to work with him. That's showing faith. He's going to need me. He's going to need you. Are you ready to start on the journey with the Lord and face circumstances, face impossibilities and turn them into possibilities? Remember, God is in control and nothing is impossible with God. May God bless you.